Good morning and welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health. It's where we highlight the groundbreaking work that's being done at JFK University Medical Center in Edison, part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. I'm Joel Katz, and joining me this week is Dr. Anish Nihalani, Division Chief, Department of General Surgery at JFK Hackensack University Medical Center and Hackensack Meridian School of Medicine. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Joel. I'm so happy and honored to be here this morning.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. I know we spoke a couple of years ago. I think it was probably a good 3, maybe even 4 years ago we spoke. So
yes,
it's nice to have you back. We loved you so much. We brought you back 10 years later.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about, just tell us about, we're going to talk about bariatric surgery, obviously. So tell us about, the way you go about it with your patients, because I think it's very important that people know that it's not just like, okay, quick surgery, see you later.
Yes. Once again, thank you, Joel. I'm honored to be here with you today. I've had the privilege of helping people not just lose weight, but also regain control of their health, their confidence, their self-worth, and their quality of life. I want to be clear, for me, surgery is never about the operation. It's about the person behind the patient. It's about listening to the individual story, understanding their struggles. I cannot tell you how many times I've been in the room and patients have shared with me how obesity affected their mental health, or they were overlooked for a promotion or relationship, or it led them down to a path in life where they were, treated differently because of their size. So walking with them every step of the way, trying to be in their shoes, and then long after the surgery is done, my philosophy of care extends beyond the operating room. It's about empowering people. I'm here to help them take control of their lives, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally. And I really want to address a topic today that's near and dear to my heart, which is myths surrounding bariatric surgery.
I've seen all the myths,
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it really is. I mean, the surgery really is life-changing in more than one way.
Right. I agree. And if there's one thing, I hope the listeners will take away from our conversation, is that bariatric surgery is not a sign of failure. It's an act of courage, an act of strength, and self-love. So let's break down these myths together. I promise.
Okay. Well, can I run them down? Cool. I'll mention the myth, and then you can you can tell us about it, because I'm looking at a lot of these, not so much the first one that I'm going to say, but a lot of these I thought, and they may not be true. So let's start with myth number one about bariatric surgery. It's the easy way out.
Yes. I promise to be honest, clear, direct, and thoughtful, because patients deserve to know the truth, and potential patients who are scared to approach the subject of obesity deserve to know the truth and not the stigma. So with that, the easy way out is something I do get. People think that, am I too lazy to diet and exercise? Why don't you just eat less and exercise more? So for that, I will explain very clearly and conclusively that this is a medical disease. This is not something that you can just exercise your way out of. It's like saying, I'm going to have an heart attack, or had a heart attack. Let me just exercise my way out of heart attack, or exercise my way out of diabetes. You can definitely exercise to help diabetes, to help your heart health. Similarly, bariatric surgery is a disease that is resistant to traditional weight loss methods. This has been proven, that diet and exercise alone are not enough. And surgery is just one part of the process. And, one of the things that has come out recently is the drugs that treat obesity, like Wegovy, Mounjaro, Ozempic. And they have also helped us bust this myth, because these new drugs are actually hormones which are helping change the biochemistry and the biology of the body, which makes the patients less hungry, for example. Mm-hmm. Your body's supposed to make its own GLP-1, which is the Ozempic, which we give. And surgery, by the way, allows patients to make their own GLP-1. So they're making their own Wegovy and Ozempic. And this is why, again, it's not the easy way out. It's like taking medicine for diabetes. It's like having surgery for colon cancer. You don't say that about other diseases, and you should not think that way about morbid obesity. And, the only caveat being, patient must commit to long-term lifestyle changes, including nutrition, physical activity. So yes, you do have to change your diet and lifestyle, and of course, follow-up care. And it requires just as much effort if not more, than traditional methods to have bariatric surgery.
Yeah, some people think, all right, I'll just get the surgery and that's all I need to do, and that's not the case.
Correct.
Yeah. All right, myth number two, bariatric surgery is dangerous and risky.
Yeah, the fact is modern bariatric surgery, we're not talking about 1970s, we're talking about 2024.
Mm-hmm. Come a long way.
Right. We've come a long way with the advancements in robotic and minimally invasive surgical techniques. I'm proud to say, you know, I have a really high volume robotic surgery practice. The risk is now comparable to common surgeries like taking out your gallbladder, like taking out your, removing your hernia.
Mm-hmm.
These risks, the bottom line is the risk associated with not treating obesity, like heart attacks, diabetes, cancer, are far higher than the risk of surgery. The risk of surgery is 1% or less, and you can actually go home, just like gallbladder surgery or hernia surgery, go home the same day nowadays or next day. And bariatric surgery has been proven to increase life expectancy for many patients.
But as with any surgery, there is risk. There isn't zero risk, but the risk is extremely low and probably much lower than many people would think, as you just explained.
Yeah, I mean, to put it in perspective, Joel, back in the 90s, my roommate had bariatric surgery at the medical school. She was a year ahead of me. She had a cut from the xiphoid bone, which is below your chest, the breastbone, all the way down to the pubic bone, right by where your bladder is.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the day, surgery was done open. You know, we had our hands in there. We were grabbing other organs. We were cutting. There was a lot more bleeding, a lot more risk of hernias.
Sounds violent. That sounds crazy.
It sounds barbaric, right?
Yeah.
It sounds barbaric. It's hard to believe it was only 20 years ago. But we've come a long way, Joel. Now we're making incisions about 8 millimeters. So if you look at your finger and you look at the tip of your finger, is about 8 millimeters to 1 centimeter. So imagine 3 little incisions or 4 incisions about the size of your fingertip,
mm-hmm.
and we're able to accomplish much more complex revisional bariatric surgery, and patients have much less pain, hardly any bleeding. They hardly have any postoperative complications. As you said, we can never say zero in medicine. We always have to, you know, look out for other complications like a cardiac event, a blood clot in their legs, a leak from the staple line. But I will be very proudly, you know, share with you that Hackensack JFK University Medical, we have Center of Excellence designation, which we're compared to all the national benchmarks on these surgeries. And our rates for leaks and pneumonias and DVTs and any events postoperatively are lower than the national average. So if you compare yourself to Harvard or Hopkins, our risk at JFK is even same or lower than that surgery. So having said that, this is a myth. Surgery is no longer dangerous and risky. It's like having a routine surgery, like for your gallbladder or a hernia.
Well, I have to ask, how's your friend doing?
My friend's doing great. She went on to become a family practice doctor. She works up in Massachusetts.
That's great. That's great to hear. All right, myth number three, you never eat normal food again. You're never going to eat normal food again. Your diet is going to change drastically.
This one up. I'm so happy that you brought this because patients come and say, oh, I heard that, you know, they only eat baby food for the rest of your life. And I tell them,
no,
you know, that's not the case. While there is a transition to solid foods after surgery, there is a time for 1 week where I only allow clear liquids. And then the second week we go to full liquids. And then eventually we go on to allow our patients a balanced, varied diet after recovery. Of course, portion sizes are smaller, but patients can still enjoy their favorite foods in moderation. And bariatric surgery, as we discussed earlier, is about modifying habits, not lifelong food deprivation. Patients should not be under the myth that I'll be deprived. I have had many successful children. I mean, 21-year-old, I call them children. They're young adults, 21-year-old kids who have been just as successful as my 72-year-old gentleman or woman, who has done just as well by modifying their habit and really recognizing that obesity is not a willpower issue, that this is a true biologic disease that I have to take control of. And when they look at it in that sense, they don't think of it as a deprivation. They realize that these are the genetics or these are the reasons I am faced with, and this is how I'm going to tackle this issue.
And the surgery does help with cravings as well, right? I mean, you can't eat the way you ate before just because you had the surgery if you ate a lot, but it helps with that, with the cravings.
No, I'm happy you brought that up. So cravings, as you touched upon, the size, because of the fact that surgery often reduces the size of your stomach, one of the most common operations we do is the gastric sleeve, where we shrink your stomach by about 70%. We remove 70% of your stomach. The important part that happens, which is not talked about enough, is that when we do that surgery, we remove the portion of your stomach that produces ghrelin. Ghrelin is one of the hormones that's responsible for cravings. So oftentimes patients will come and say, you know, I passed by my favorite pizza shop, my favorite donut shop, and I didn't even have the urge to go in. And I was standing right next to that place, and I didn't even want to eat it anymore. And if I do try to eat a bite of donut, I feel full right away. So I'm so happy you brought that up. Mm-hmm. Surgery for sure reduces cravings and reduces the capacity. And the cravings are reduced by a hormonal mechanism because the part of your stomach that's removed is producing those hormones for craving, which is ghrelin, which makes you growl, but now it's gone. So you don't have the craving that you used to have. At the same time, you're making your own Ozempic or Wegovy, which is your GLP-1 drug. So your body's making its own, so you don't have the hunger that you used to have prior to surgery.
Well, that's new to me. You're telling me that the ghrelin that's in the stomach makes the growlin? The ghrelin makes the growlin?
That's right. That's a good way to remember it, Joel. I hope the listeners can relate to that.
Why don't we just call it growlin?
Yes, we should. We should make it growlin.
All right,
it makes you growl.
Myth number four, bariatric surgery leads to malnutrition.
Yeah. So patients come in and, you know, they say, doctor, you know, so-and-so had the bypass and look at them. Now they look so emaciated. They look like, and, you know, here's what I tell them. The fact is, first of all, the sleeve gastrectomy does not have any malabsorption, which is the most common operation. I use the last myth to discuss the sleeve gastrectomy. The gastric bypass does have malabsorption, but it's by design. We want you to not absorb every calorie you eat. So if you're giving 1,500 calorie meal, I want you to only absorb 800. While it can affect absorption, patients are supported by my team of dietitians and nutritionists, medical assistants, nurses, to make sure they're getting essential nutrients. Vitamin supplementation is part of post-surgery care. It's not much different from other chronic conditions where dietary adjustments are required. So as long as you're taking a multivitamin with iron, then you're not going to have a deficiency. Matter of fact, I often find myself going to Amazon and showing people the bariatric vitamins brands that I trust that are responsible. Just like you're supposed to take a one a day or a Centrum, there are bariatric vitamins that patients are supposed to be taking. And if they do that, they will not be malnourished.
Talking with Dr. Anish Nehalani, Division Chief Department of General Surgery at JFK Hackensack University Medical Center and Hackensack Meridian School of Medicine. And we're talking about the myths involved with bariatric surgery. And let's move on to this one about bariatric surgery, that you're going to gain all the weight back. I'm not going to get bariatric surgery because, yeah, I might lose some weight, but I'm going to gain it back. Everybody gains it back.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this one up. I get patients come in and ask me, say, hey, doc, can I do the medication because I heard the surgery won't work? And I tell them, look, the fact is, while weight regain can happen, most patients, and by most, I mean 90% of patients, maintain significant weight loss. So there's about 10% or even as high as 20% that will regain a little bit of weight. The key is having ongoing support from healthcare providers, from nutritionists, from counselors. There are modern techniques now, including AI-driven tracking apps that will digital tools that will help patients stay on track. The long-term success of bariatric surgery is significantly higher than dieting alone or exercise and dieting like Weight Watchers or all the fad diets combined. You know, there's every year, I'm sure you've seen on TV, there's a new potion you can sprinkle on your food. There's a keto diet. There's the Atkins diet. And I'm not saying these diets don't work. They certainly work to modify. However, when you compare surgery to these dietary measures, the data is like this. 80% who lose weight with surgery do not gain it back. but 80 to 90% who lose weight with Weight Watchers gain it back. And they fall into that yo-yo pattern of weight loss and weight regain, and that's when they end up with someone like me.
And this is the time of year that people think about it. With the new year, people want to start the new year. They'll start a new year with a diet, and all those diets that you mentioned are doing some heavy marketing right now.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I know surgery can sound intimidating to people. I know people worry about risks and judgments and what ifs, but I want to assure the listeners, this is not a journey you have to take alone. I mean, we are not just here to cut and run. We are here to provide care and a partnership, lifelong partnership after the procedure. And this is why I'm so passionate about patient education, support, and follow-up care. Because I don't want patients to succeed in the short term. I want them to thrive for the rest of their life. I want them to come and have a conversation with someone like me, so that we can explain that everything that they're learning on these apps like Noom or Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig, this is all a part of our program. It's not one in place of the other. We're using surgery as a means of helping you change your hormones so that you have a tool which will now help you maintain long-term success.
And, with bariatric surgery, some people think that it's not for them because maybe they need to be weigh more than they actually do. I'm leading into myth number six, the bariatric surgery is only for the morbidly obese.
Yeah, let's use this one to describe obesity and define obesity. So obesity is measured with a number called BMI. BMI stands for your weight divided by your height. So if you're 6 feet and 200 pounds, you're not obese. But if you're 6 or 5 feet and 200 pounds, you may be obese. In general, patients will qualify for surgery if they weigh 100 pounds over. But even if you have just a BMI of 35 and you have other diseases like diabetes, like blood pressure, like sleep apnea, you actually qualify for surgery. It is not for extreme cases. It is not just one of the other myths that I think this one touches upon is it is the last resort. Like people will come to me, Joel, and say, wait, I want to try everything before I ever think of surgery. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you the fact is this is not the last resort. This is like, when you have colon cancer, you get surgery for your colon. You don't say, oh, my last resort is having a piece of my
right.
colon. So this should be right. Once your BMI is 35 or more, you should be thinking about surgery because, as I said earlier, surgery is very safe, very effective. You go home the same day or next day. We are doing it robotically. This is not just for extreme cases. It's about improving your quality of life, your mobility, and preventing chronic diseases. I want to expand on that a little bit.
Okay.
Because obesity leads to other diseases. Obesity is actually the mothership, if you will, of other health problems. Once you're obese, I like to tell my patients, it's like the new smoking. Back in the day, 70s, 80s, 90s, people were smoking and everybody understood the risk of cancer from smoking. Obesity is like the new smoking. Increases risk of esophageal cancer, increases risk of breast cancer, colon cancer for the men who are listening, prostate cancer. So there, every day we are learning the hormonal mechanisms as to how these fat cells are producing hormones, which are increasing the risk of cancer, increasing the risk of patients having high blood pressure, diabetes, metabolic syndrome. A lot of these obesity-related healthcare issues, including strokes, which will go away once the patients have surgery and lose weight. So they have, not only are they living longer, they're living healthier. Patients get off their medications for diabetes. They get off their medications for high blood pressure. They no longer snore at night. No longer have the need for a sleep apnea mask. So it's important for people to understand that this is a treatment option. It's not the last resort. And it's not only for the people who are on the 600-pound life show. Matter of fact, my average patient only weighs around 250 to 300.
But it's not, that leads us right into myth number seven, that bariatric surgery is cosmetic surgery. It's not.
Yeah.
That isn't even one that I ever even thought of, but I guess people do think about that. That they do it just,
yeah,
just
people,
to look,
you know,
better.
I have had patients who, I had a father of a young adult who thought that the patient would go into surgery and come out skinny. And I told him this is not the same as plastic surgery. You know, people misunderstand us. We, our specialty, which is metabolic surgery, it addresses the root cause of obesity. And obesity surgery treats underlying health issues, as I mentioned, diabetes, heart disease, sleep apnea. While patients may look different after losing weight, the goal here is to improve their overall health, not aesthetics. Now, that's a great side benefit, and patients love their appearance, smaller jeans, small, you know, more attractive. And that's fantastic. And that's, we are right there with them, enjoying their successes and you know, rooting them on, cheering them on. A lot of times patients have relationships and they get married and other things that they haven't done before in life, and they feel their self-worth and self-confidence starts to come back. So those are fantastic benefits. At the same time, I want to remind our listeners that this is covered by insurance. This is not a plastic surgery that you have to pay for out of pocket. Even Medicare is required to cover bariatric surgery. The mm-hmm. New Jersey law, obesity is considered a core disease, where our law requires insurers to cover obesity surgery because it helps you live longer, live healthier, and prevent health complications.
All right, I'm interested in your answer to this one. I mean, I know the answer, but I think it's important that people know the answer to this. This myth, bariatric surgery affects fertility. Because a lot of people would be concerned about that.
It does affect fertility, but not in the way the myth says.
Not in a negative way.
Correct. Patients think that you won't be able to have children after surgery. It's actually the opposite is true. Fertility often improves after surgery, especially in women with obesity-related infertility. So we do recommend waiting 12 months to 18 months after surgery, because trying to conceive in the first 12 months can deprive you of your own nutrients. So I'll tell patients to wait for at least 12 months before they conceive. Having said that, there have been a few patients lately who conceived within the first few months, and I'm proud to report they're healthy children. And I've had many patients who come in with children, either the child or the pictures of these children, and they say, "Hey, doc, look what you did.
That's beautiful.
Made me fertile. I'm now a proud mom of two. I have one who has three children. They either go through IVF. I even have stories where, Joel, patients were not able to conceive. They tried IVF, and now they were able to conceive, not just with IVF, but also natural. So they are so happy that they're able to bear children. And, of course, it is so gratifying for me doing what I do for a living to share and be a part of their story.
Yeah, that's a great story. I guess we should clarify that if you are not overweight, this is not a surgery you would have just if you're infertile or you've had trouble having getting pregnant. This isn't a surgery you would have. This is strictly for people who want to lose weight.
Right, but fertility often improves. So, as I said,
right, it's a byproduct of it, but it's not a surgery for that.
No, it's not for that, but obesity affects fertility. So, as I said, obesity affects your body. You know, affects your ability to breathe, affects your ability for your heart to pump blood through your body. It affects your GYN hormones, and therefore it decreases fertility. And after surgery, women will often tell me that their periods are starting to become more normalized, and therefore their hormones are normal and they are able to conceive.
Great. I just wanted to clarify that. And we have time for one more, recovery. The myth that recovery is a long road and it's painful.
Yeah, I mean, I am surprised. I'm frankly surprised as to how quick the recovery is now. With robotic surgery, we have less pain, lesser length of stay, smaller scars, faster recovery than traditional open surgery, as I described earlier. Patients can return home 24 hours to 48 hours. They can resume light activity within a week. Patients will often even go back to work in a week, and that's the fact.
Great. Dr. Anish Nihalani, thank you so much. Any final thoughts?
I think, Joel, I just want to say thank you for allowing me to share my passion with you. If you'd like to learn more or have questions, I invite you to reach out. I'm sure Joel will provide in the interview the link
or
the phone number. Remember, it's never too late, if, especially with the new year coming, to prioritize your health. And you are never alone. And we are here to help. Thank you for listening.
Doctor, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For more information, go to jfkmc.org. Or for a podcast of this show, you can go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com or magic983.com. JFK Spotlight on Health, brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz, and we'll talk again next week.